Now, I saw my first macadamia tree back in 2004. I was with my family doing a round Australia jaunt, the entire lap, and we fetched up in the Byron hinterland, and there they were, groves of macadamia trees. And at the end of that trip, we sat down and we thought, what, this entire circumference of the continent, where would be the place to go if you could take your pick? And that's what we thought, little macadamia farm up back of Byron somewhere. How joyous that would be. And it was a revelation for those who think that the macadamia nut is, in fact, its natural terrain, as natural territory as the departure shops of international airport terminals. Wrong. It's on trees. And there's more to this origin story than all of this. And full bottle on this is Dr. Craig Hardner. Now, he's a senior research fellow at the University of Queensland. Craig, welcome.
Hello, Jonathan.
You have made some remarkable discoveries about how the macadamia industry grew from Queensland to the world.
Sure, and with some colleagues at Southern Cross University and others, of course.
So tell us what you found.
Well, I've been interested for a while in, I guess, the diversity of macadamia, so the, you know, how the genetic variation in macadamia and how it can be used for breeding. Mm-hmm. And macadamia, of course, comes from naturally from the wild subtropical forests of southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales. Although macadamia was first discovered by Europeans in southeast Queensland in the mid-19th century, it was initially commercialised as a crop in Hawaii after some seeds were taken there at the end of the 19th century.
Right.
And so from that, the world industry grew, and a lot of the varieties that are used in commercial orchards are from Hawaii. So the interest was to find out where the material came from that was originally taken to Hawaii, because Southeast Queensland, Northern New South Wales, is the only place where macadamia grows in the wild. So where that was collected from, may have been collected from, and is there potential for more diversity in the wild to users fuels in breeding and producing new cultivars for the industry,
yeah,
and also to become aware of what we have left of macadamia in the wild.
Do you think you found a source for that rather significant export to Hawaii from Queensland?
Sure. There was some initial historical evidence that it might have come from south of Brisbane around the Gold Coast hinterland. I actually worked with Cathy Nock at Southern Cross University and others at University of Queensland to do some genetic marking work, so to look at differences in the DNA, both in the wild and as a reference set, and then in the Hawaiian material, and to see if we could identify particular bits of DNA that were unique to particular locations. So what we found was that all of the germplasm, all of the individuals that we looked at in Hawaii actually trace back to a small population just to the southwest of Gympie, which is about 200 kilometres north of Brisbane.
How extraordinary. A global industry was born. It's remarkable that somebody obviously had the foresight to take that tree to Hawaii, but why there was no local use from at least Queensland settlers of that product.
You know, I don't want to give that misconception. Mm-hmm. Certainly there was an interest in the delicacy of macadamia. There was some activity in northern New South Wales, particularly at the end of the 19th century, about growing some small orchards and some local production. But it was really the Hawaiian, or a couple of Hawaiians in the 1920s, that thought of macadamia production on a larger scale. And that's where larger seedling orchards were established, and then the industry in Hawaii grew, and that then showed the macadamia to the rest of the world and supported the growth of the industry to where it is today.
Now, describe the tree to us and the nut and its structure, because, I mean, a lot of people, yes, they may have seen macadamias in plastic bags or coated in chocolate, but not necessarily hanging off a branch.
Sure, and I guess there's two quite different types of macadamia. One is the macadamia that's found in the wild populations and the macadamia that's in orchards. And so in the wild, my hypothesis is that they hang around until there's a gap created, and then they grow and they flower and they reproduce.
Hmm.
Whereas in orchards, that's more like a continual disturbance where they're quite large trees, maybe 20 metres high. They're planted at densities of about 8 metres between rows, 4 metres long rows, and some of the trees can be quite spreading, some of them can be reasonably upright.
A macadamia orchard is a gorgeous sight.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have one, but I've got some friends that do. And as you say,
you can dream.
In the hinterland of Byron Bay, it would be a great lifestyle.
Now, the nut itself is tricky to get at.
Correct, yeah. So I don't have any of the figures of it, but there's certainly work done on how hard the shell is to, or certainly to break, and its value for use in other products. So, for example, there's an artist up here who's making bowls out of the shell, the ground-up shell combined with some polymers to make some special design food bowls. And again, the shell can be used for a number of other purposes, but certainly it's quite hard. Although, insects can get through it, and that is another one of the issues
okay,
for production.
I'm sure
obviously.
There's a story there. And going to production and the hardness of that shell, in the actual harvest of the nut, what's the mechanical process for getting out the nut from the shell?
The process is basically that harvesting occurs between March and August each year in Australia, and the nuts abscise from the tree and fall to the ground. Well, the fruit do, and they've got a rough adder casing, which is called a husk, and that's removed generally at the farm, and then it goes to processing factories, which have got specialised cracking equipment, which is really using a shearing force to crack open the nut. So not a direct hit on the nut, but sort of a side hit on the nut, and that has been found to be the most effective way to open the nut.
You have one in your backyard, don't you?
That's correct. That was part of the research work we did as well.
And how does that go fruit-wise?
I actually, probably like a lot of Brisbane citizens, may have a macadamia in their backyard but may not eat a lot. I mean, I work in macadamia, so I have quite access to, you know, cracked macadamias. My tree requires the husk to be removed, the shell to be broken. I've got a nutcracker at home, but
it's a bit of effort, isn't it?
Have you, it is a little bit of effort.
Have you, however, checked out its DNA?
So when we were doing the study, as I said, it was based on DNA marking. And when I was putting together the suite of individuals we were going to put through the analysis, someone suggested, why don't you try the tree in your backyard? And I thought, oh, that's an interesting idea. I'll do that. And there's some interesting results came from that. So that was really interesting for us to work through.
Is it related to anything exotic?
Well, the story in the paper is that because the differences between individuals in the wild have such a strong latitudinal structure, so it's quite easy to map back other domesticated plants that are cultivated, back to where it may have come from in the wild. So that's how we solved the Hawaiian origin issue. We also included samples from my tree, the first tree that was planted in Brisbane, that was planted in about 1858.
Which is still there in the Botanic Gardens.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And a tree that was planted in 1879 at the campus of the University of California, Berkeley. And the really interesting thing about those three is that they cluster together. So they have very similar genotypes. They're genetically very similar, but they're quite different from what we have sampled from the wild. So that's sort of suggesting to us that Southeast Queensland, Northern New South Wales has gone through a lot of development, a lot of clearing of the natural subtropical forest, which is the habitat of macadamia, and that maybe some of the diversity that was present in wild populations has been lost.
That sounds utterly plausible, doesn't it, from our experience of so many things in the clearing of forest and the species that must have gone with that.
On the optimistic note, just to add on that, I guess for macadamia is that it demonstrates that there may be that lost diversity, that lost germplasm in cultivated plants. So that there's some other colleagues we work with from a local NGO here, Healthy Land and Waterways, and working with Southern Cross and the Macadamia Conservation Trust that are asking Brisbane households, if they've got macadamias on their old macadamias, to send in samples. And we're doing some more work on the DNA testing to see if there's more diversity in those backyard trees.
Great stuff, Craig, and fascinating to hear that story of that great export, macadamias to Hawaii, and an industry was born. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your interest, Jonathan.
The macadamia, what a great Aussie nut. Aussie nuts to the world. Dr. Craig Hardner, he's a senior research fellow at the University of Queensland. And this is Blueprint here on RN.